You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items, read on Airs LA, are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Pieldrush. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science Magazine, a presentation of Airs LA. This week's articles include, at 1 minute, Artemis II astronauts will eat a lot of tortillas on their trip to the moon. At 5 minutes 20 seconds, Japan eyes distant island for nuclear waste dump. And finally, at 8 minutes 40 seconds, physics discovery explains why sneakers squeak. Let's get to it. This first article is from the Science, Space, NASA section and is entitled, Artemis II Astronauts Will Eat a Lot of Tortillas on Their Trip to the Moon, written by Andrew Paul, published March 4, 2026. NASA offers a look at the menu for this historic 10-day mission. This article begins with a photo. Its caption reads, Astronaut Lauren J. Shriver, mission commander of STS-46, attempts to eat floating sweets on the flight deck of the shuttle Atlantis during its orbit of the Earth, August 1992. Food is famously fickle in space. Astronauts' menus are carefully constructed to maximize nutrition and calories while minimizing storage requirements, preparation needs, and the possibility of contamination. And then there are the crumbs. As annoying as they are in your lap on Earth, a single rogue cookie chunk could literally jeopardize an entire mission. Astronaut meals may still not be go-to choices on a regular day in standard gravity, but they've certainly come a long way since the grim-looking packets of freeze-dried chicken and rice that accompanied Apollo 11 in 1969. NASA recently offered a rundown of the entire menu aboard its upcoming 10-day Artemis II lunar mission. The long and short of it? Lots of smoothies, tortillas, and coffee. Quote, on a typical mission day, excluding launch and re-entry, astronauts have scheduled time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Each astronaut is allotted 2 flavored beverages per day, which may include coffee, unquote, NASA explained. Quote, beverage options are limited due to up-mass constraints, which restrict how much food and drink can be carried on board, unquote. There is an additional photo, an infographic describing the menu options for Artemis II astronauts. Its caption reads, No sign of astronaut ice cream for this mission. Luckily, the astronauts provided plenty of input for these food choices. The 4-person crew have already sampled and rated various options during pre-flight tests, with considerations given to both nutritional requirements and the Orion spacecraft's storage restrictions. Final selections include mango salad, barbecued beef brisket, spicy green beans, as well as macaroni and cheese. A total of 43 cups of coffee will help caffeinate astronauts on their trip to the moon, while 5 different hot sauces will satisfy any spice needs. Spreadables to boost any given meal's flavor include maple syrup, peanut butter, mustard, jam, and honey. Astronauts will not be able to do any additional food prep during Artemis II's launch and landing phases, which means only ready-to-eat offerings during those times. Otherwise, the crew will rely on Orion's potable water dispenser to rehydrate freeze-dried foods, while a, quote, briefcase-style food warmer, unquote, will heat up other dishes. Approximately 2 to 3 days' worth of meals are also packaged together in small boxes. There is a video entitled, How to Eat in Space. Quote, preparation is intentionally simple, using ready-to-eat, rehydratable, thermostabilized, or irradiated foods that can be safely prepared without interfering with crew operations or spacecraft systems, unquote, added NASA. It's a surprisingly diverse range of meals and snacks, and certainly a step up from the Apollo-era dining experience. However, there is one notable absence from Artemis II's kitchen. When it launches, currently no earlier than April 1, 2026, there doesn't appear to be any astronaut ice cream on the menu. This next article is from the Science section and is entitled, Japan Eyes Distant Island for Nuclear Waste Dump, written by Andrew Paul, published March 5, 2026. Minamitorishima is nearly 1,250 miles east of Tokyo. This article begins with a photo. Minamitorishima Island in Pacific Ocean, seen from above. Its caption reads, The island is surrounded by a coral atoll and is only 0.6 miles wide. Nuclear power is on the rise around the world, but with it comes an extremely pressing question. Where will all the radioactive waste be stored? For Japan, one answer may lie in literally the most remote location at their disposal. Representatives confirmed to the AFP that they are considering the establishment of a nuclear waste burial facility on Minamitorishima, a tiny island located at the furthest edge of Japan's easternmost territory, almost 1,250 miles from Tokyo. At only 0.6 square miles, the triangular island is surrounded by a coral atoll, completely uninhabited, and closed to any tourists or visitors. Speaking to reporters on March 3rd, Japan's Minister of Economy, Trade, and Industry, Ryosei Akazawa, said Minamitorishima includes unexplored areas capable of housing the infrastructure needed for waste disposal and features, quote, scientifically favorable traits, unquote. There is an additional photo, Google Maps screenshot showing Minamitorishima Island in relation to Japan. Its caption reads, Minamitorishima is Japan's easternmost territory. Even with its controversial and occasionally terrifying history, nuclear power is growing more attractive to many countries as they continue to shift away from fossil fuels. A Gallup poll from April 2023 indicated around 55% of the U.S. supports increased reliance on nuclear energy. On March 4th, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission approved an advanced 345-megawatt nuclear plant in Wyoming, while the current administration aims to quadruple the country's power capabilities by 2050. Although the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster was the worst catastrophe of its kind since Chernobyl, Japan wants to adopt maximum use of the industry based on energy policy documents. In January, the country restated the world's largest nuclear power plant for the first time since Fukushima. Additional surveys are still needed before any plans on Minamitorishima can move forward, but it appears that the island is the most likely candidate for the burial facility. Officials have already conducted preliminary location investigations at three sites on two of Japan's most heavily populated islands, Hokkaido and Kyushu. This final article is from the Science Physics section and is entitled Physics Discovery Explains Why Sneakers Squeak, written by Andrew Paul, published February 25, 2026, and helped researchers play a Star Wars song on glass. This article begins with a photo. Nike yellow basketball shoes on parquet floor during basketball match of Ukrainian Super League Paramatch, season 2020-2021. Its caption reads, Even famous thinkers like Leonardo da Vinci were fascinated by the physics of friction. It's difficult to imagine watching a basketball game without the sound of sneakers squeaking across the court. The high-pitched noises are instantly recognizable as they are inevitable, thanks to the physics of friction. But while similar tones are audible far beyond NBA games or on screeching tires, aging bike brakes, and windshield wipers, there is surprisingly little research into the detailed dynamics of squeaky surfaces. What researchers do know is that the sounds come from stick-slip friction, the regular cycles of two objects adhering and moving between one another. However, that explanation doesn't fully encompass every influence. To learn more about the dynamics, an international research team recently examined these physics relationships in detail. Their findings, published today in the journal Nature, reveal a never-before-seen dynamic that both explains the underlying mechanics of squeak, but also opening up new possibilities for making more advanced materials and even in seismology. Quote, "This project started with a simple question. Why do basketball shoes squeak?" Unquote. Adele Jalouli, a study co-author and materials scientist at Harvard's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences, SEAS, said in a statement. There is a video entitled, "Researchers Recreate Star Wars Song Using Squeaky Friction." Figuring out the answer required Jalouli's team to rely on advanced technology while also drawing inspiration from none other than Leonardo da Vinci. Among the iconic polymath's many, many achievements, the 15th century thinker is famous for devising an angled contraption to help his experiments exploring friction physics. Going off of over 500 years of friction research, the team used internal reflection imaging along with cameras capable of recording at 1 million frames per second to document the shifting contact points between rubber sneaker soles and a glass surface. Meanwhile, delicate tools measured the audio produced during each and every tiny squeak. Surprisingly, the results contradicted long-held theories about stick-slip events. Instead of occurring randomly, squeaking sound frequencies are determined by the repetition rate of propagating pulses. This repetition speed, in turn, is dictated by the rubber sneaker's stiffness and thickness. Additional experiments using flat-sided rubber blocks on glass also produced far more complex and irregular noise pulses, resembling broader swishing noises. This proved geometry is a major factor in how friction squeaks generate. Quote, "We were surprised that tiny surface features could so strongly reorganize frictional motion," unquote, added study co-author and University of Nottingham materials scientist Gabrielle Albertini. Quote, "These results challenge the assumption that friction can be fully captured by simplified one-dimensional models," unquote. There is an additional photo. Its caption reads, "A visualization of the frictional interface when sliding a basketball shoe." Jalouli, Albertini, and their colleagues eventually understood these relationships so well that they managed to arrange rubber blocks at various heights and play Darth Vader's theme song from Star Wars by hand. Coincidentally, the team discovered another friction consequence that recalled events in a galaxy far, far away. Occasionally, slip pulses created triboelectric discharges, basically tiny instances of force lightning. Beyond engineering quieter sneakers, the new findings will help improve some of the world's most advanced engineering materials. Quote, "Tuning frictional behavior on the fly has been a long-standing engineering dream," unquote, explained SEAS materials scientist and study co-author Katia Bertoldi. Quote, "This new insight into how surface geometry governs slip pulses paves the way for tunable, frictional metamaterials that can transition from low friction to high grip states on demand," unquote. The ramifications also touch on much larger subjects. The same physics in slip pulses are seen during earthquakes, when tectonic faults produce high-speed ruptures that sometimes move faster than the speed of sound. Quote, "These results bridge two fields that are traditionally disconnected, the tribology of soft materials and the dynamics of earthquakes," unquote, said physicist Shmuel Rubinstein. Quote, "Soft friction is usually considered slow, yet we show that the squeak of a sneaker can propagate as fast as, or even faster than, the rupture of a geological fault, and that their physics is strikingly similar," unquote. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science Magazine. I'm Michael Piotrasch, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.